last week I said this, that God gives you tools in your life. And the point of last week, if you didn't hear last week and you're thinking, what on earth were they talking about? Go back and listen, because last week I said the first tool that God gives you is that whenever you declare thanks, what happens? It takes a situation that is meant to destroy you and a situation that is meant to throw you off course for your purpose and your destiny. And what it does in giving thanks, it has the ability, according to Scripture, to change the very nature of that circumstance and to make it work for the purpose of God in your life. Isn't that right? And so today, what I want to do quickly is I want to move on, and I want to look at the second tool that God gives you, because all of these tools are about this one thing. They're about keeping you connected to your purpose and keeping you connected to your identity. They're about guarding your heart. There's no neutral in life, folks. If you're not moving forward in the battle to keep your heart connected to the source of life, that is Jesus, what will happen is that you will go backwards. I find this in my own life. When I lose that connection with God, whenever I lose that connection of the Holy Spirit working in my life, connecting me to Jesus, what happens is, a little bit like in 2 Timothy 3:5, I have an appearance of godliness in my life, but I lack the power. And whenever you hear the stories this morning about what's happening in the Glasgow's life or in Valerie's life, we want to be connected to the source of life, which is Jesus. I don't want to have a form of godliness which denies all the power of God working, because the whole point is we are called to be people who demonstrate the kingdom of God. We're not called to be people who play at church or play at Christianity. Our calling and our purpose is to be men and women who bring and usher in the kingdom of God into every bit of life. And in order to do that, we need to stand in the grace of God and in the favor of God, and by all things, keep our hearts connected to the source of life. So many Christians live with a form of godliness, an appearance of having it all together, all the trappings of relationship, but missing the power of the walk. And these tools that God gives us, and today I'm going to talk about promises. How do you possess a promise that God speaks? How does that work? Because the first thing in terms of giving thanks and having a thankful heart will transform situations. The second tool is this: I will possess every promise that God speaks in His Word over my life. Now, in saying that sentence, there's something about it. Promises are there, but they need to be possessed. They need to be taken hold of. When God speaks a promise, and I'm going to talk about this, it talks about our potential of how we can walk, but we need to be very clear. There are many people who hear the truth, and it kind of goes over them and makes no impact on their heart. Why? Because they don't possess that which God has given them. It's there for us. And I want to say this morning that some of us are going to need to renew our minds. I'm going to talk about how our identity and how our purpose is given to us by God. And it may seem really obvious, but the only reason and the only way that you know that who you are and what your purpose is because God tells you. And renewing your mind is this. It's simply letting His words and His promises over our life completely cancel out all the old beliefs that we have lived with. We must believe these promises about God because there are tools to live by. There are tools to stand in grace by. And here's the thing, we have to believe them before we see them. That's faith. That's not being crazy, charismaniac, out there kind of Christian, name it and blab it and grab it and claim it and all the rest of it, blab it and whatever. You know, all those things that churches can be, or people like me can be portrayed like. What I've said in my life is this: my sign of faith and trust in God will be that despite how I'm feeling or despite what my circumstances are telling me, I will cancel out every old belief that was part of me. And when I encounter Jesus and what He says about my identity and my righteousness and who I am in God, I'm going to believe that over everything else, and I'm going to stand. That's standing in a promise. I'm going to show you how I do that in my life. It's a bit like we've been dipping in and out of the story of King David, and David's destiny didn't begin when he took the throne. Remember, he was anointed by Samuel 13 years before he took the throne. And for David, some days it might have seemed such a long way off for him. You're anointed king, but it's so far away, and in the middle of difficult circumstances, it might have seemed like he was completely off his rocker. Maybe I thought maybe some days the only thing that he had was the distant memory of a word that was spoken to him years before. But I tell you what, the point is, and I want to encourage you today, David pursued his destiny until he fulfilled it. Too many syllables in that sentence, therefore I said pursued. He followed his destiny until he fulfilled it. His faith was not in his circumstances, but on who he knew God to be. Hebrews 11:11 says this, talking about Sarah, that Sarah herself received the power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Do you consider God faithful on his promise? Let me challenge you this morning. Do you consider him faithful? Do you consider his word to be true? In the middle of your circumstances and whatever's going on in your life this morning, do you consider, like Sarah did, that the word of God and God himself was faithful and to receive that word into your life? You know, Sarah, when she was well past the age of conceiving naturally, received the word and bore children, and we know the rest is history. But she considered him faithful. And one of the tools that you need to grow stronger and to stand in the grace of God starts with this. I'm going to consider God to be faithful, and I'm going to renew my mind and cancel out every old belief that sets itself up against what God says about me. Consider God faithful this morning. We've heard the stories of God's faithfulness already in this church, and it's exciting. So what are we going to do very quick is we're going to talk about how we unlock the promise and how we possess it. There's three things this morning that we need to talk about. Whenever you are born again, whenever you are born into the kingdom of God, you inherit every single promise from God for every believer. You're not excluded. You are not on the outside for any reason. You inherit every single good gift from God. In fact, 2 Peter 1:4 says this, that he has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. They are yours. You don't have to earn them. There's nothing you can do to get more of them. They are all yours, and they are received through faith. But here's the thing. They speak of potential. They speak of what your life could look like. What do I mean? Well, you might have a symptom of sickness in your body. That does not mean that you don't have a promise that God wants you well. Do you understand that? Sometimes we think that what is real is what is right in front of us. If I have a sickness in my body, then therefore it may cancel out the fact that God is a healer. I want to say to you that every promise and the fulfillment of that promise is yours. The question is, how are you going to possess it? If you've got sickness in your body today, how are you going to possess those promises that God wants you well? Here's your first point. This is why I believe that we need to walk in a ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because firstly, let me read this. John 16:13-14. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you of the things to come. This is the Spirit of God. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine, and he will declare it to you. First thing is this. To possess a promise of God, it needs to be spoken to you by the Spirit of God. Do you understand that? There's a difference between the written word of God, which is true, and then there's the rhema word of God, which is the Holy Spirit of God making that alive to you in every circumstance and situation. You might see that with people who color in their Bibles. I think they are a weird breed. Have you ever sat beside somebody in church and you think, how can you actually read the Bible? Because it's colored in multicolored pens. And then you sit beside them with your Bible with hardly a mark on it, and you don't feel like you're really a Christian because you haven't marked verses on the front. Anyone of color in or inner? Oh, Lord, the real Christians. Here's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit takes what is Christ's, the rhema word, and what he does is he makes that promise alive to you in whatever situation you happen to be in. It's like fresh bread every morning. And here's the point. If you're trying to live your life outside of a relationship with the Holy Spirit, making the word of God and the promise of God alive to you, don't waste your time. Because as New Testament believers, we're led by the Spirit of God. And I want to say this morning, the first thing to possess a promise is to have a relationship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit, where God speaks the word to you, where God impacts the word to you. And whenever God does that through the Holy Spirit, there is a prophetic anointing released into your life at that point. That's why some people read the word and it makes no difference to them, because they're not asking the Holy Spirit to take what is known of the Father and to declare it into your heart. Do you understand that? That's why you can't live in somebody else's revelation. You might feel inspired and your heart spikes for a minute and go, yes, because truth, whenever the truth comes, you'll respond to truth and your spirit leaps truth to truth. But at the end of the day, if it's not applied to your heart through an encounter with the Holy Spirit, it will wear off and you will find yourself back in square one. To possess the promise, you need to spend time with the Spirit of God and saying, God, take what is known of the Father and put it, declare it to me. Make it mine, Lord. It's a relationship. That's what the Holy Spirit does. God cannot lie. His word, when it comes to you, is in complete agreement with his nature and with his character. And therefore, when the Holy Spirit speaks words to you, it releases the power to accomplish what that word says in your life. That's why I believe it's so critical to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If not, this is what happens. You get a revelation of God's promise. And it does, instead of leading you to divine encounter, it just makes you more religious. Do you understand that? I found that in my own life. At times when I fill my head full of the word and full of, and you know, I've talked about people on BakeBook who just continually take lumps out of one another over theological points. And remember my analogy of the pig, don't do it. And I didn't make that one up either. Mud wrestling pigs, don't do it. Pig enjoys it and you get dirty. All right? But what you find is, in the Christian world, is that if when I read the word and I read the promise of God, if in that moment, if I'm not saying, Holy Spirit, put that on my heart and make it mine, what's going to happen is I'm going to become more religious instead of having a divine encounter. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit possesses that word in your life. And whenever you're given a promise, it should provoke you to seek out the one who gives the promise and fulfills the promise. Because if you don't do that, you're going to cut yourself off from the source of life, and all you will be left with is a form of godliness without the power. Spend time and say, Holy Spirit, as I read this word, or if I'm in this situation, you take what the Father says about this situation and apply it to my life now. That is the Rhema word. The Spirit of God releasing the prophetic anointing in your life to make that promise not just out there or dry on a paper, but actually something that you live. Whenever I first moved to France as a student, I actually didn't want to move to France. And at the end of the year, I didn't want to come back. That's the irony of it. But I can remember sitting in my room reading through the Psalms, particularly Psalm 71, 2, 3, 4, where it was just the cry of my heart, saying, God, I feel, you know, because I felt quite alone, number one. I arrived in Charles de Gaulle. This is a funny story, I'll tell you very quick. I arrived in Charles de Gaulle Airport. For those of you who know the French, they have a different way of doing things, just generally. And I arrived with my rucksack on my back, all my worldly possessions, and I got off the plane and I needed to go to the toilet. So I went to the toilet in Charles de Gaulle Airport, feeling very nervous, not about going to the toilet, because I've done that before, but being in France on my own and thinking, I'm in France, I needed to get to this other bit of France, I needed to find an... You know, all the parlez-vous that you'd learned up in this point is completely useless. Then you meet a proper French person, and you're like, you don't speak the French that I know. You know, what is going on? And so I was standing there at the urinal, and all I felt was around my feet, excuse me, monsieur, bonjour. And there was this wee woman mopping. Mopped over my feet, between my legs, around that flag out of her mouth, going, bonjour, bonjour. And I was like, oh, God, take me home right now. Take me home. It was awful, absolutely awful. But I remember, just remember phone home going, these people are all weird. But I remember reading Psalm 71, 72, 73, 74, sitting in my room at night and just saying, God, these were written thousands of years ago by a man who I have not met yet, but I'll meet him in glory someday. I need you right now in my life. This needs to be real. You'll never leave me. You're always with me. You'll not forsake me. I'm not on my own. It needs to be stopped being dry, and it needs to be what I am really living. And the Lord said to me, well, the spirit of anointing on that is the Holy Spirit of God. So just spend time and ask the Holy Spirit to make that real. To possess a promise, it is the Spirit of God who does that. Do not just dry read promises and not ask the Holy Spirit to put those on your heart. It seems like a really obvious point, but sometimes what happens is, you have people, and interestingly, I talked about it this week with that guy on Skype, and talked about how the grace of God can just become something that we talk about and not something that we live. Remember, every promise is your invitation to divine encounter of God making that real. So that's what I pray. I say, God, make this real. Holy Spirit, put this on my heart. The second thing is this: to possess a promise, it will always require a practical demonstration of trust. I love the story of Mary in Luke chapter 1 when the angel appears to her and he says, for God, and he says, Mary, you're going to have a baby. And he's going to be called Jesus. And by the way, he's the Savior of the world. The whole weight of history was going to be on his shoulders. The one that the whole Jewish nation have cried out for and have looked for. You're going to bear that child. And by the way, you're still going to remain a virgin and all the rest of it. That's the story. And Mary's response is incredible. Because she understood this, that whenever the word comes and you have to receive that word, it will require that you do something practical off the back of it. She said this in response to what angel speaks, for with God nothing will be impossible. This is the angel. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be unto me according to your word. Here's the thing. Mary had absolutely no way of knowing how that promise was going to work itself out in her life. She didn't understand it. It hadn't happened before. Whenever the word of God comes to you, you have no idea how God is going to work it out. We know how we'd like God to work it out, but the word of God comes to you and the promise of God comes to you, and you might not have any idea, but what happens is this. You start to move towards your destiny, and you start to move towards your purpose. You start to move towards character and depth and standing in grace whenever you say, I may not understand it, but I receive it. I may not have the whole picture, but God, I trust you enough to go, let it be unto me according to what you say. Not according to what my friends say, my husband says, my wife. Not according to what the doctor says. What you say, Lord, let it be unto me according to your word and nobody else's word. I'm going to cancel out the old beliefs and say, I may not understand it, but I'm going to practically demonstrate my trust. That if you've spoken a word, I'm going to stand on it. Because here's the point. You don't need to understand every bit about God's promise to you in order to believe it. I used to think, God, I need to know the A, B, C, D, E, Fs of this. And God said to me, no, you don't. You need to trust me. You need to trust and take a practical step, because if you don't take a practical step on the promise of God, you will never inherit the promise. It requires something of you. It requires a response of faith that says, if he said it, let it be unto me according to what he says, and therefore I will do because he has said. That's what Mary did. She didn't run away and say, no, I'm out. I don't want to know. She said, okay, God. In the middle of this, if you've said it, I'm going to believe it. If you want to possess a promise, make a practical demonstration of trust whenever you've received it. Do you know the word, actually, for seed is the same word where we get sperm, actually, in English. Oh, he's a dirty brute. Sperma in Greek. But it gives you the picture. It gives you the picture of what happens. You know, when Penny was pregnant the first time round, and the second and the third, actually. You know, conception has happened in her womb, and there's a baby grown, and it looks nothing like, she just looked like she did yesterday. Isn't that right? And then the next day, she looks the same. But we... What was that? Somebody's singing. But we behaved differently once we had the word that she was pregnant. I remember going on holiday to America, and the doctor had said, don't walk through those big things, just walk around the side. And I remember we're going to the States with Robin and the band, and having to walk and walk around the, what do you call those? Magnetic things. And the doctor said, look, probably nothing in it, but just walk around, just say, look, there's your letter. Now, the thing is for me, I felt a wee bit embarrassed because she looked dead normal. Didn't have a tummy. She wasn't behaving irrationally and emotionally. Oh, all the women give me daggers. None of that. But we knew that there was a seed that had planted and there was conception. And so what we did was our behavior followed that even though we didn't see it. Do you understand? We could have gone, well, look, I tell you what, until such times as we see a bump and all the rest of it, then we'll know. But whenever we got the word, our behavior followed suit. Straight away. Why? To protect the seed that had been sown. To possess what had been given to us. Our behavior as a practical demonstration of that which we could not see, we had to receive in faith. To go, this is actually happening. If you want to possess a promise, you've got to make a practical demonstration of trust. I remember actually buying the pregnancy tests, because Penny sent me out to do that. And I went to Tesco's, knocked on the gunny. And I was so embarrassed. I put them in the bottom of the trolley. And then I thought, you know, Tesco's not in a gunny, you'll always meet people that you know. And so I ended up spending like 140 quid on shopping, like that, to buy two tests. And because I met someone that I knew, and I could see them coming down. It was one of our best friends, actually, Jane. And I was like, oh my goodness. So I just was buying random things, you know, just to feel, hi, Jane, how's it going? And thinking, oh my word. And then we went to the doctor, and this was about six tests later after the first one. And then about, you know, the doctor, who's a friend of my mum's, said, well, I don't need to do a test if you've done six. And we were like, no, you need to do a test. She went like, how pregnant do you think you are? You're either pregnant or you're not. And so I said, no, do another test, because we might have done it wrong. Like, peeing on a stick, it's hard to get it wrong. And so, do you know what I mean? But at some point, something clicked in us, and we went, we're going to protect this seed that has been sown. And our lives are going to look like there's something happening, even though we can't see it. Do you understand? To possess a promise, take a practical step in trust. That's what Jesus says in John 20:29. He says that, you know, talking about whenever he was raised from the dead, people are blessed. You know, you believed and you've seen me, and that's great, but you're really blessed when you believe when you haven't seen it. What steps are you taking? What steps are you taking to possess the promises that God's already taken over your life? That's how you stand in grace. Grace has equipped you, and the Spirit of God has equipped you with everything that you need. So you stand and you say, I may not see it, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to give. I'm going to forgive. I had a situation about 7 years ago that was quite a stressful situation, and there was some relationship stuff involved in it. 3 years ago, God spoke to me about writing to one of the people, and it was a hard one for me to write because I felt like, you know what? I probably want to dig in on this one. But God spoke to me and said, whether you're 1% wrong or 99% wrong, apologize for what your part in it. So that's what I did 3 years ago. And I got a really, really snottery response back when I wrote that email. And it hurt me because it took a lot for me to write that. During the week, ping, my phone goes. And it's an email from this guy. And he said, God's really been speaking to me, and I am so sorry. And he listed out, this is what I did, and I was wrong. And I'm really, really sorry. I hope that's okay. And I really pray for your church, and I pray that God will be doing great stuff in it. Sometimes you have to stand and believe and do what you know to be right, even though it doesn't look like it's going the right way. I kind of feel like, God, why did I wait? You know, it's funny. You kind of think, I waited 3 years for that to come back. But obviously God's been doing stuff in me and doing stuff in that situation. But if you'll believe, then God will do it. Do you understand? Take a practical step of trust. The third thing is this. To possess a promise, it'll always require you to contend. You have to contend. Standing in the grace of God means contending for the promise that's been written over your life. Some people think that grace and the message of God's grace is just, I sit on my backside and do nothing, and everything will be sweet. I'm finding more and more that the more I discover what God has done for me, the more I discover that there's an enemy. He wants to steal it, kill it, and to destroy it. That there's a call on this church to bring the kingdom of God into Belfast, Ireland, the nations, and beyond. And we are going to need to contend for this promise in a world that doesn't want people to know the unmerited favor and the love of God. I love the stories of ministries and people who have stood. You know, we've got somebody here from Andrew Womack's Bible College this morning, graduated yesterday. And I listened to the stories of Andrew Womack, of how he has stood over decades and decades contending for the gospel. You've got to contend for the gospel in your life. You've got to contend for the promise of God in your life. You know, Jesus had to. Let me tell you how it's going to work. The Holy Spirit speaks the promise to you. You receive it in faith and say, even though I can't see it, I'm going to believe it. And then I'm going to, number two, take a practical step of trust, because that's me starting to possess the land. I could do dozens of sermons on this. God speaks a word, you've got to go and possess it. You do that, and then what happens is you've got to contend. What happened with Jesus? Jesus is anointed by the Spirit, by his Father. You're my son, whom I love, and I'm really pleased with you, Mark chapter 1. Next thing, Jesus is led out to the desert. So he gets the promise of God, and he gets the approval and the anointing of God. Then the enemy comes. If you're the Son of God, next thing, command that these stones become bread, because Jesus was hungry. So the promise is given. The enemy comes to contend against that word that's spoken in your life. And what was Jesus' response? Jesus' response was straight away, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out from the mouth of the Lord. So what he did was what I'm trying to tell you to do. When the Spirit of God puts that promise in your heart, you're going to have to take a practical step. When you do that, the enemy or the circumstances in your life will come against it. And you will have to, in that moment, contend and go, because he said so, I am considering him faithful, and let it be unto me according to your word. Three things that help you stand in the grace of God, that help you possess the promise of God. As I have done this in my life, in our journey of having children, and many of you will know that, I can remember the times. I remember once staying with Mum and Dad because we had this dodgy builder in who had taken $5,000 and our roof and not come back. That's a whole different story. And then we subsequently found out he'd been in the Sunday Life because a previous customer had knifed him. And I thought, lucky she knifed him because I would have knifed him first. And so this is in the middle of us trying for babies and all the rest of it, which is awkward when you're living with your parents. That's all I'm going to say. And so I remember one night, do you know what I mean? Anyone who's been there, it's not good. Sorry, Vern, but gee whiz. Like ninjas. That's all I'm saying. We're like ninjas, right? But I remember one night. I can remember. It's real life. You know what I mean? I can remember one night. Too much info? Yeah, way too much. Was that a line? Come on, we're all adults in the room, for goodness sake. I've totally forgotten what I was going to say. Yeah. No, I can remember those times in my life. I remember one night where Penny was really upset just about the whole thing and doctors and all sorts of stuff. And I got really frustrated with her and I said, do you believe God or not? And it's only because, you know, I wanted her to stop crying, actually. I'm just being really honest. I was like, either we believe God or we don't, but we're going to have to believe him because I can't do this. This emotional roller coaster is killing me. So he's either right and he's true and he's faithful and I'm going to believe him to be so. She looked at me and went, right, okay. Tears, snotters, and all the rest of it. That's real life. Contending for the promise. God had spoken it over us. We had received it by faith and saw nothing happening for years. And we said, God, when the enemy comes to steal that word which has been sown, I'm going to contend and I'm going to stand on the promise of God. That's standing in grace. And here's the thing. Yet again, I've got through half my talk. So I'm going to finish this off next week. Here's the thing. The more you do this, the easier it becomes. Many of us fall, we're like every horse I've ever put a bet on in the Grand National. Not that I believe in that, but you know when you're in work and it's 50p or a pound in the thing. I always get the three-legged disabled donkey that runs backwards. You know what I mean? It's like, that can't be in the National. Look at the state of it. You know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't even make the first fence before it falls. You know, just boom. And it's a wee bit like that. Life can be a wee bit like that. Sometimes the challenges seem too big. The promises of God seem out there. What I want to say is this. This is really practical. Take one promise this week. Receive it by faith. Declare it to be so. And contend for it with the strength that God has given you. Because God, as you do that, you're pointing yourself towards your purpose and towards your destiny. Every power of hell is trying to distract you from the calling that God has put in your life. Do you understand that? It's not God making things hard for you. It's not God making things difficult for you. It's not God trying to beat you down to build you up. He's trying to say, I have given you every promise and every gift. I have given you everything that you need, and now I want you to learn to stand like men and women of God, like kings and queens, and inherit those promises. There's a promise for every area of your life. There's a specific promise that the Holy Spirit will bring to you this week as you take that time and say, God, make this real. There is a prophetic anointing released over your life this week for every promise that God has. And I really want to encourage you this week, stand on the word. Confess that even though you don't see it, that it is true. And consider him faithful this week. Consider Jesus faithful. And I, money back guarantee. that God is faithful. God is faithful. Listen to me, God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. He is not a liar. He is a faithful God. He is a loving God. He is a God who is supremely in love with you, and he is true to every word. That's his promise. Amen? Stand with me. We trust in our God.